Welcome back to Golden Rule Radio, your weekly recap of the precious metals markets and the news that moves the markets. And Rob, it's just you and me again. We had Tori there for a minute, but he had to run. He had something come up right before we started talking. So
yeah.
Such is life. So we miss you, buddy. Hopefully we'll have you next week. But he did give us some silver stuff to talk about, which we'll jump into here in a second. So before further ado, let's take a quick snapshot of what the markets did here over the last week, kicking it off with gold sitting practically dead even, 27.55 at time of recording. That's about where we left off our show last week, Wednesday afternoon. We did, however, have on Friday, we kind of joked about, hey, we could come in next week and it's already happened, Rob, the breakout. We did have a touch into the previous all-time high going back to October of last year. Didn't quite make it all the way up to the top, and it's sort of been sitting here sideways. So we'll take a closer look here at gold because we're going to follow up on our COT report discussion from last week also. Quick glance at silver. Surprise, surprise. Anything gold does mediocrely, which is sit sideways, silver does the exact same thing in this case. So silver sat sideways at about $30.65. But we did have as much as a 3% drop in silver here over the week. So we did have some volatility and a couple high points we'll look at on a chart here in a moment. Platinum and palladium up 1.5% for platinum, and down 1.5% for palladium. They are both currently sitting at $972, and the eternal battle of not good and evil, let's say white metal versus white metal, the eternal battle seems to continue to be waged with nobody gaining any ground. Taking a quick glance over at the equities markets, because the S&P, while down a little over 0.5% to 6,040 this week, it did put in a new high, as well as about a 2% decline at one point, sort of immediate reaction to the AI news coming out of China, and then obviously that all rebounded pretty quickly. And then finally, the dollar, which we're definitely going to talk about today, because it was a Fed announcement that we're going to get into. Pretty much also dead even, 108, sitting right at 108, but we did for the first time in quite a while go below 107 just for a short period of time this week, which is giving up all of the ground that the dollar has made since December. So all of the upwards momentum that we have is now gone in the US dollar. So let's take a look at a couple of these charts a little bit closer. The gold chart touching those October highs was a pretty big deal, and I know we talked about this last week, coming hot off the heels of one of the most impressive discrepancies I've seen in the COT report, the Commitment to Traders report from the previous week. I think it was, what, 220 to 10, 220,000 long?
No, it was 221.9 short, as I recall.
Okay. 221,000 long, 9 short. How's that looking today, Rob?
It's getting crazier. How long is it now?
We're about 240,000 long on the managed money.
And what, 5 short?
And about 5,000 short. So at least as of the January 21st report, which was last week, but as of last week, that kind of explains why we've seen such a massive shove up in the price of gold here following the election. All the managed money positions are long. Your others category is long. The producers are always short, but they're not substantially short. So a lot of faith in gold coming out of the managed money category in the COT report, and that continues at least last week.
And typically the managed money doesn't own physical gold. They're just here for a quick gain.
Right. Yeah, you're going to see that money moving in and out of those contracts relatively quickly. You know, you're not talking about people that are actually looking to fulfill the gold shipment contracts, right?
Right.
So they're just looking at playing the short-term game, and they're going to have an exit strategy. And this gets back to our conversation last week of, is the exit strategy the previous all-time high? Because we didn't hit it this week.
And if you're talking 240,000 contracts, each contract is 100 ounces, and it's a 10-to-1 leverage. So you're talking about a great deal of leverage and a lot of ounces on paper.
Right. Well, and it's going to be almost impossible to unwind those contracts at a set price, you know, and that's going to be the hard part too, is when you're looking at the managed money category, like you said, you're not talking about people that are wanting to cash in the contract when it comes due.
Yeah, these are not gold bugs.
No. And they're certainly not gold suppliers or producers or anybody that wants a truck full of gold bars showing up at their office. So they're going to have a strike price, like a take profit strike price. And we just got to hope that all 220,000, now 240,000 contracts don't have the same strike price, because that's how you start the momentum ball rolling down the hill.
Oh, my goodness.
Margin calls.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. It'd be awful.
So, yeah, gold could get bumpy. We'll just have to see what happens as we approach it. So let's take a quick look at silver, because there's a couple interesting things that I think are worth taking a look at. And that's some of the highs we've been trying to put in the silver price here over the last couple of weeks. We've been looking at silver taking a pretty significant decline going back down to October. Got all the way up to just shy of $35 on the silver price, which was a pretty significant move up from August, you know, starting from 26 to 35. It's portfolio changing. We'll just say that if you're sitting on a silver position. Nice big decline back down, you know, a pretty healthy fib retracement back down to around, where'd we get to? Like 28 and change, a little under 29, I think. And then we've been trying to push back up. And man, for the last couple of weeks, we just keep bumping our head right against $31. We put in a pretty firm ceiling here over the last couple of weeks and hoping to see a little bit of a breakout there. Now, I think there's a couple charting reasons why we could see that. So I kind of want to do a little compare and contrast. And Tori brought this up to us earlier today. Is if you look at the silver spot price here, and you just draw a little trend line going back to October, you know, $35. Then we had that big bump up back in December, got up to 32. Then we've continued to trail back down from there. The trading that we're seeing right now has actually moved above that declining trend line. So what that tells us is it's like a rock climber getting sure footing, looking to put some weight on that right foot and take a nice step forward with the left.
I think there's reason to believe that silver could move higher and break that 31 short-term ceiling. You're going to be showing us the chart on copper. The last year for copper is creating a wedge formation, which leads you to think it's either going to break up or break down. But I'm actually cautiously optimistic that copper is going to break up. And the fact that we've hit over 90-to-1 silver to gold ratio several times in the last few weeks. Each time it has done that in the past, silver was ready to take another step higher.
No, we looked at that, a month ago, a couple weeks ago on the show. I'll see if I can pull that chart out for this show just to toss it up on the screen again. But we looked at how interesting it was. Every time we saw that 90-to-1 gold ratio, you know, silver get above 90-to-1 again, we'd get a 20, 30, 40% jump up in the price of silver pretty quickly. Following. So to see that happening again, that's certainly encouraging to see us above this 3 or 4 month declining trend line. And then Tori brought up over in the futures market where you have a little bit more volatility. So you have some higher highs and lower lows intraday. It kind of skews that trend line a little bit and brings it up a little bit, but we're bumping right against that too. So in the spot market, it looks like we're taking a step above it. In the futures market, we're coming right to the same level where we would be taking a step above it. And we've got a little bit of consistent history here over the last number of years where when 90-to-1 gold to silver happens, silver really doesn't like to go above 90-to-1. I mean, I know we're all hoping it goes back to 30. Like, I'm with you. I'm right there with you guys. We all want it to go back to 30. But
let's just get to 50.
Yeah. But what we have seen is we've seen that consistency at 90 where it goes, nope, this is my line in the sand.
Yeah.
I need to play catch up. It's the hare waking up and taking a little sprint to play catch up a little bit.
Yeah. And I'm looking for that. I'm looking for gold to back up a little bit, for silver to play some catch up, and we'll see what the ratio does.
Well, you mentioned copper while we were talking there. Let's talk a little copper, Rob. Tell me what you're seeing.
Well, Dr. Copper for the last year is in a very strong pennant formation. Now, if you pull your chart over the last 4 years, we're still in a rising trend line for copper. But anytime you see a pennant formation, you want to pay attention to that because something's going to happen.
Yeah, if you look at the last year here, the high was pretty dramatic. I mean, we're talking about over $5
back starting from a low,
March, April.
Yeah, starting from a low at $3.75. and it just skyrocketed to over five. I'd have to take a look and see where it finished. And then it's been back and forth, back and forth. And now we are at almost the tip of the wedge.
Yeah, that year-long wedge. And then, like you said, let's zoom this chart out a little bit and take a look. And you're seeing a slight wedge, but mostly just a rising trading channel in the price of copper here. So you could see that wedge come to a point right at the bottom of that channel. Now, we're talking about like a long-term price move in one of the biggest, most necessary assets on Earth. So it's not like we're going to... We could, but you tend to not see copper go from like $4 to $6 or $7 in a week, right?
Right.
But 3 months, 6 months, you know, and we've seen this a couple times here as you're looking at the chart. There's a couple times where you've seen 20, 25% moves up or down in the price of copper over a 3 or 6 month period.
And that really affects the price of silver. So, yeah, that's why they call it Dr. Copper.
Yeah, copper sort of leads. It's the mercury in the thermometer for a lot of the metals, industrials, and even the precious metals markets. So it is worth taking a look at. I think because copper is the Titanic, it is a slow-moving and not quick-turning ship. I think we're probably going to see it meander out towards the edge of that wedge here maybe over the next few months. But Rob, 6 months from now, we're probably going to be having a very different discussion about copper.
I'll look forward to that.
All right, man. It's all on the back of one thing, right? It's everything we talk about. It all gets denominated in something here in the U.S.
And that would be dollars.
That would be dollars.
And President Trump is picking a fight with Chairman Powell.
Yeah. Boy, he just wants that lower interest rate.
But then he wants a lower interest rate, and then he's complaining about inflation. I'm like, President Trump, you can't have it both ways. I mean... You know, you want to fight inflation, you raise interest rates. We can't afford to raise interest rates. Our debt is around $36 trillion. We want to gin up our exports. In order to make our exports competitive offshore, we have to weaken the dollar. Now, if we can pump more oil and drive the price of food and groceries down, the felt inflation won't be there. But then everything from our clothes that we wear to the phones in our hands to our computers and our televisions, everything we import, because we don't make any of this stuff, is going to be a lot higher. But as long as people can feed their families and put gas in the car, we can muddle through. But be prepared for the cost of imported goods to be considerably higher over the next couple of years.
Yeah, it's the argument that I think is poorly directed. You know, I think, yes, we need to curtail inflation. Yes, it's nice when interest rates are low, but I personally disagree with that as a strategy going forward. But ultimately, we're pointing the finger at the wrong person. You know, in my opinion, if we want to curtail the effects of inflation, you kind of got to go after the guy who's most responsible for the overspending, and that's Congress.
Right.
So we're pointing the finger at the wrong people, because Powell's trying to raise interest rates to slow inflation, which is one of the tools you use to slow inflation, and government spending continues to go up. So they're just borrowing at higher rates. And that's what causes the inflation rate to go up. It's the additional money getting pumped into the system.
Right. But that's the only way out. We have no other choice. I mean, yes, they are making drastic steps to curtail the expenditures from the federal government. And I think they're on the right track in that regard. But if you want to create an export manufacturing economy, you have to have a weaker currency. That's what China's done. They continue to weaken the currency from China, so their products are a lot cheaper when they export them. It's a lot more moving parts than it sounds like.
Yeah, there's a lot of pieces here, but we still got to point fingers at the right people.
Right. I mean, yelling at Chairman Powell because of inflation is like kicking the dog because you're mad at your ex-wife.
Exactly. That's, it's still funny. There may be a better way to say it, but I like that way. So I'll take it. So... Yeah, so we'll just, I don't know how to follow that. I think you got, I think you just ended our show, Rob. I guess that is going to do it for Golden Rule Radio this week. Let's look for some breakouts over the next week or two. What do you think, Rob?
I'm excited. We know where gold's going. May back up here for a few weeks, but we'll be over $3,000 at some point this year. And yeah, let's just hope silver can play catch up. It really needs to.
That 90-1 plus a copper move pushing silver in the direction of bumping its head now four times at $31. We blow through 31, we're at 35 pretty quickly, and we've already been at 35.
Yeah, we're going higher.
Yeah. Silver's going to get bored at 35 pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's going to be a fun year. So I guess that is going to do it this week. So thanks again, Rob. Appreciate it. Thanks to all of you listeners out there for joining us again. If you liked what you heard, hit those YouTube buttons. You know where they are. Better yet, if you'd like to discuss your personal portfolio with one of the advisors here at McIlvany Precious Metals, we can always be reached at 1-800-525-9556. You can also find us on Twitter at ICA Gold or Facebook at McIlvany Financial. Thanks again for listening. Look forward to seeing you next week.